This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, we interrupt our endless amount of commercials. We can actually do the show a little bit. Major is with us. He's with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. I want to start with this question. What are you wearing right now? What is the Major Garrett attire 136 on a Friday afternoon? Yeah. I don't see you as a sweatpants guy. I just don't
No.
Because you've told us that you told us early on the pandemic that you were still getting dressed, you're still approaching the day. I still think you're on that mode right now.
Yes, but today's slightly different. I was on CBS this morning. I had to go into the bureau for that, so it's a suit and tie. I was in Northern Virginia, in Arlington, about an hour and a half ago interviewing voters because in-person voting started today in Virginia as it did in Minnesota. So yep. I kept my suit on for that. I'm going to be on the CBS Evening News tonight. No point in getting out of my suit, so I've got my suit slacks on, my button-down shirt. I'll put my tie back on. I'm not wearing that all day long. I do have my shoes off, my feet up, and I am watching the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's two of us watching the U.S. Open right now.
And one thing before we get into any politics, I just want to say earlier today, Bryson DeChambeau teed off. Mm-hmm. He hit the ball 358 yards, and he told the NBC commentator walking down the fairway he thought he thinned it a bit. What?
I played the last couple days. I thinned a number of shots. The number three was not involved in the equation as the first digit. Here's the thing about Bryson. NBC had a great note the other day, too. Last year's, quirky COVID-laden season. So it's golf. I mean, it's strange anyway with the 2019-2020. But as audacious as his length is, the highest percentage of makes inside 10 feet on the PGA Tour, Bryson. Mm-hmm. It's a heck of a combo. Yep. If you hit it further than anyone and then inside 10 feet, you make more putts than anyone.
Right, right.
I like the combination,
Oh, absolutely. It's a championship-making combination, and pro golfers will tell you that the magic range on all approach shots from 80 yards, 70 yards, or from the fringe is 3 feet or in, because the percentage of putts made 3 feet or in for most pros is near 100%. You get to 6 feet and out, it's much more complicated. And if you're hitting them routinely inside 10 feet, you are doing something at a very, very high level that most pros, no matter how much they practice, don't have that kind of quality 10 feet out.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I think people would be stunned if, when they narrow it down to, let's say, 8 to 10 feet, what the true make percentage is. Because it's not as high as you would think, and you nailed it. The disparity from 0 to 3 to, let's say, 3 to 7 to 7 to 10, it is a dramatic change. So, yeah, I will be watching copious amounts of the U.S. Open, including during this show. So let me pose this question to you. We thought we were about 75% set to chat with the vice president today, some scheduling change. So, unfortunately, that is not going to work out. So I've asked this to others. I want to ask it to you, and I'm giving you no advance notice because that's what we do here on the show. You've interviewed both of these men many, many times. You wrote a book, Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, on Donald Trump. If the campaigns come to you and say, Major, we know you're coming back on CBS Evening News. We want to profile Minnesota, but it does not have to be a Minnesota question. You get one single question for Joe Biden, and you get one single question for the president. Following politics as closely as you have, and I know you would put in a voluminous amount of work, but just off the top of your head, if you had one question for each one of them, what would it be?
For Joe Biden, it would be, why can't you figure out what you would say as president on a mask mandate? Because he was in three different positions on that just this week. Just this week. And to me, that is borderline campaign malpractice in a pandemic.
I agree with you 100%.
First, he said, we have to have one, but it's going to be a recommendation, but I would talk of it as if it were a mandate. Then he said, you know, I've checked with my lawyers, and they say we can enforce it, so I would enforce it. And then last night, he said, actually, I would only be able to enforce it on federal lands, and that's not enough, so it's going to be really more recommendation. Well, hello, that's essentially what this White House concluded about a mask mandate. Now, I don't think the president, even if he thought it was enforceable, would have ever done it. That's a separate question. But my question for Joe Biden is, you say you should be the next president, and we know that there will be elements of this pandemic still with it. Why can't you figure this out? Because this ought not to be difficult. Or if it is difficult, why aren't you explaining the difficulties of it and thereby saying the thing you most criticized President Trump of doing, which is oversimplifying and doing things for political reasons?
It would be a very effective and simple campaign ad, either by the Trump campaign or back PAC supporting them, to just say, in 1 week, in 3 days, look at where Joe Biden is. So when the president gets criticized, let's show you the competitor. He doesn't know what position he has day after day. How about for Donald Trump?
So this is more difficult for me because I know almost all the answers because I watch every briefing and I know exactly how he doesn't answer the question that you pose. But I would say something along these lines. Mr. President, even this last weekend in Nevada, your supporters told CBS News, I'm not wearing a mask because I trust the president. You know wearing a mask would make it easier for this country to be healthier and to reopen the economy faster, both of which are central to your prospects of winning a second term. Why won't you do the one thing that doesn't require a regulation, taxes, the Congress, or anything to get your country and your reelection campaign back on firmer ground?
It's a great question. And when I was talking about it, I said a version of the same thing, saying I can come up with a number for Biden. But because we all, if I mean, nobody follows it as closely and as effectively as you, but I follow it really close. I'm just so used to his, I've decided he, this is him deciding how he's going to answer it, how to be as precise as possible in asking the question where to objective individuals, they will know, okay, this is an important question. This is a valid question. And if he doesn't answer it, that was his choice, right? Because he just pivots so quickly. So let me pick up on that. They both had these town halls. Joe Biden last night on CNN, Donald Trump on ABC on Tuesday. What did you learn about those individuals, the way they responded, some very specific, direct, and effective questions, and how that will play into a debate, which is going to take place on the 29th this month?
Well, first of all, the reason they both agreed is because they wanted a debate run through of the format of a town hall. And the Trump campaign desperately needed it for the president. He did not do well in the ABC town hall. He looked very uncomfortable. and genuinely looked taken aback by the directness, the seriousness, and the emotional components of some of the questions. I guarantee you his campaign needed to have that on tape to say to him, Mr. President, if you want to do well in the debate that's going to be watched a lot more than this ABC thing, you've got to look at this tape and you've got to get better. You have got to get better than this. You cannot do this.
Is he willing to listen to that?
Well, I do think there's evidence that he is. There has been one period of time in my near 5-year exposure to candidate and now President Trump in which for 3 consecutive weeks, he was absolutely disciplined. And it was the final 3 weeks of the campaign of 2016. Absolutely on point. And he can be when the stakes are high enough and the imperative is great enough. And the stakes can't be any higher and the imperative can't be any more direct. This campaign is slipping through his fingers. There's no question about it. Statistically, and you could say, well, I don't believe the polls. Fine. Well, the Trump campaign believes the polls. They know what their paternal polls are, and they know that they're down in more places than they're up. And they're closer in places that they blew Hillary Clinton out in 2016. That's a reality. And the thing I always tell people is watch how active campaigns are to understand where they think the race is. The president could not possibly be any more active than he is. That tells you he's down. He's not ahead. If he were ahead, he would be slower and place more emphasis on the things that he's doing. He doesn't have time for that. He has to be everywhere constantly all the time. He's got to be traveling everywhere. He's got to be on Fox and Friends for an hour. Then he's got to have a press conference at 5 o'clock the very same day. A campaign or an incumbent that was leading would do one or the other, not both. The frenetic action of Trump tells you he knows he's behind. So I guarantee you the campaign said, let's do this town hall. So he got something on tape to show the president and say, look, are you satisfied with this? Do you think this is going to get it done, Mr. President? Because if you do, you're wrong. And just understand the consequences so you can get ready for the second one. For Joe
who
Biden.
Who do you think? Let me just ask you that. Who do you think is that singular person who, if he or she sat him down and said almost word for word what you said, where the president has so much respect for this individual that he would genuinely take those words intellectually and also to heart?
So I think that's a false construct because there isn't one person in the world that I think Donald Trump views that way, which is highly unusual from other presidents I've covered or successful political figures where they had not only a kitchen cabinet, but like the chairman or the chairwoman of the kitchen cabinet. Now, Melania has that kind of emphasis on certain matters. Ivanka and Jared do. But there isn't a singular person that Donald Trump looks to and says, come on, tell me what I need to do. It just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. But he would listen to David Bossie. He would listen to Corey Lewandowski. He would listen to Jared and Ivanka and Melania. And he would have to hear it over and over again. And Bill Stepien, the current campaign manager, has developed clout that he simply did not have when he was inside the White House as political director. And he would be a voice that would be listened to. But ultimately, it has to come entirely from him. And until it does, it won't change, no matter how many voices and no matter how many people that he trusts and has a longstanding relationship with. I'd throw Kellyanne Conway in there as well. She's still a voice that matters, and Hope Hicks, a voice that matters. We'll get to this in a minute, but on the takeout, on the phenomenal marquee time of 11 p.m. Sunday night on WCCO this week.
We turned some other high-profile things down. They wanted a Trump-Biden debate Sunday at 11. We said no.
Exactly. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders is on the show, and I said, do they have the campaign have a re-election message down yet? She goes, not really. I'm sort of telescoping downward her answer. But I said, all right, give it to me in 45 seconds. And she gave me what she thought it would be. And it's not what they're currently using. So there are issues that even those who love this president want to see him reelected and fully support him, unabashedly fully support him, as Sarah does, don't think that they've got things down. So there's room to grow. And the president needs to make those decisions. Quickly on the Biden.
You know what I need to do?
Go take a break.
Cook is telling me we got to go. We got an endless amount of commercials today. So I have to let you go. I may text you Sunday while we're watching the U.S. Open together.
Exactly. Keep hitting it thin like I do.
Thank you, Major. The great Major Garrett, the takeout, the debrief, all of his podcasts are fantastic. We're lucky to have him on board.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.